where strategy gaming meets good vibes. No stress, just critical moves.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Critical Moves podcast. My name is Nunu and today I'm joined by Al. Hello Al.
How you doing, mate? All right?
I'm doing great, thank you. And I'm also joined by Joe. Joe, how have you been?
I've been great. I don't look as nice as Nuno today, and it's making me uncomfortable, but I'm going to power through.
And isn't Nuno being just so really, really polite? It's quite unlike him. It's a bit unnerving, really. He's been so lovely, where normally he's full of shits and unpleasantness.
Because you guys bestowed upon me the responsibility of leading this episode, so I need to be a bit more elaborate.
So I think it's the outfit.
So we've given you some responsibility.
Mm-hmm. And we don't know if he's passing gas back there. He might be tooting all over that.
So guys, this week...
Maybe.
This week, we're going to be discussing what games do we think are the better games for people who are just starting out playing strategy games. Because I think there's a myth going on that strategy games tend to be a bit more complex than other genres. So I will start with the discussion. Joe, what do you think about that? Do you think that strategy games are more complex, or is that just a myth?
I think many of them are absolutely more complex, especially if you consider what I think of when I think of strategy games are the Paradox Grand strategy games. Those games are overwhelming right from the start. So they don't have to be, but if you select some of the grand strategy ones, yeah, they absolutely are. You're getting pop-ups right away.
You think that's a tutorial problem? You think that's a game design flaw? Or it's just the nature of the beast?
Both. I think Paradox does something where they sort of just assume you're going to go watch Let's Play videos. They lean on their community to teach everyone how to play their games. So I think it's absolutely a flaw in their part. There's a game called Dwarf Fortress, which I would call a strategy game, that is insanely complicated and no one could figure out how to play it. And then the designer made a tutorial, and the tutorial is awesome. And it teaches you how to play in 15 minutes and you can go play it. Previously, it was an amazing headache, and now you can learn in 15 minutes.
Oh, what's your opinion on this?
Do you not think it seems to be... Because when you said that we will be discussing strategy games for new players in this episode, my immediate thought was, well, back when I first started playing RTS games, it was Red Alert, which is quite simplistic. And when you compare it to games now, there seems to be a lot more complexity, even in the most simple of gaming genres such as RTS, which could be quite simple, but they seem to just add layers and layers of complexity. And sometimes I think, is that really necessary? Is it necessary to make things more complex? Red Alert would be my pick for anybody wanting to play RTS games. Get the Red Alert Remastered Collection, because it's just a fantastic all-encompassing package with huge amounts of value as well. Why would you choose something more complicated if you were new to strategy games? And are developers doing us a disservice by introducing additional complexity when it's unnecessary?
I think you make a fine point. Is that for us, I think we grew up playing these kind of games, right? So we have gotten progressively used to the complexity of some of it. So we started playing, like, I remember starting not the first Red Alert, but Red Alert 2. It was also a very, very simple game as well. And the first Age of Empires, so they were rather simplistic games when you compare them to games that we have today. So yeah, I think you have a point there. It's just games have been progressively getting more complex because software development has gotten a lot more complex as well, and you have more processing power, and you can build more stuff with this. So yeah, I think that's a great point.
There's an issue or a trend in game design at the moment, which is they're not making games accessible. So I'm getting on now, I'll be dead in a few years or however many years it might be, and therefore strategy games has lost a player. How are they making games available or appealing to the next generation of gamers coming through? I'm not dying, by the way. I'll just throw that out there. But you know, the point does still stand. How are they making these games appealing to the 18-year-old or 16-year-old who has grown up playing Call of Duty, Grand Theft Auto, these immediate, instant dopamine hit type of games? How do they sell RTS games to them?
Well, you know what they're doing is they're coming up with microtransactions that they can do to get these kids who have been gambling on Call of Duty to come in and gamble on their games. They're trying to figure out a way to do microtransactions. Obviously, I hate those, but that's what they're doing. They're like, okay, you can outfit your soldiers with weapons now, special weapons you can get from our store. And if you get the right thing, you get a sword, and your leader can have a special sword or something like that. I don't know if they're doing that, but I think that's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to move towards. They're certainly not going to do better stories, because they don't want to take those chances. So they try to be more flashy or try to get you with microtransactions, I think.
We'll try and get through this next section without Nuno mentioning Ubisoft. The idea of microtransactions, especially pay to win, is universally despised by the community. There's not a single person who, oh, brilliant, they've put, I can buy for real money this particular unit, which is going to make me far more successful at the game. Nobody likes that. So I do wonder why companies do think of those ideas. I was having a conversation with 9-2, one of the developers for Sanctuary Shattered Sun, yesterday, and they are considering microtransactions, but as a method of funding the costs for servers, for premium servers, for multiplayer, but purely cosmetic. You know, so people may be able to buy a badge, a clan badge, or a different skin, but nothing which is going to have any impact whatsoever on the your abilities in the game. You know, and I think that moving towards a situation where you can pay your way to the top of these games is a travesty. But we are moving away from Nuno's point here. We're just having a general bitch, aren't we? Sorry, Nuno.
No, it's fine. I'm not going to mention Ubisoft today, because, to be fair, Ubisoft...
You just did!
Yeah,
mentioned it.
I just want to take a small jab at Ubisoft, because this might be the last year we hear about Ubisoft, because they look like they're gonna flop, so who knows, in a couple of months this might be completely outdated. And
what about Assassin's Creed Atlantis? Or whatever they were going to do next. Come on.
I don't know. I hope so. I hope they make a good Assassin's Creed. But Shadows isn't it, clearly. So just going back to the point. Yeah, I think I'll put forward a very important question. How are you going to sell strategy games to a younger generation? And I think that, unlike what is the popular perception, I think that a lot of people still like strategy games, because you in 2025 you have more strategy games releasing than you did in any previous year. So the idea that these games are dying is fundamentally wrong. And if you look at companies, like Hooded Horse, Slytherin, Matrix, Microprose, like they've been having quite a good run these last couple of years. So I think they're doing that well enough. They have a very well established audience, and then it's just like when we were younger. So you just play a game here and there, you enjoyed it, and you explore other that. And the fact that you played Call of Duty doesn't mean that you cannot enjoy strategy games. For example, I love Call of Duty. Not the recent ones, but you know, like in 2007, I played Call of Duty. All day long, and I still love strategy games back then, so I think that those are not mutually exclusive. But I would like to bring the conversation back to so Al already mentioned that he would say that Red Alert 2 is a good starting point for people, for not Red Alert 2, Red Alert Remastered, for people starting strategy games. And Yuzo, what would your noob friendly strategy game be?
So, my father just retired, and he had been a gamer 30 years ago before he got too busy. Maybe it was 20 years ago. And he had played this game called Lords of the Realm 2. It was kind of like a city builder strategy game. And I told him, you should do Civilization V or Manor Lords as your new intro. And Manor Lords actually is a little probably too complicated, but it was perfect for him. He did Civilization V, and I think Civilization V is a good pick because, first of all, if you want to tell a new person to grab a game, it's cheap, right? You can get the whole series for, I don't even know, two or three double cheeseburgers at this point, probably. And you get the whole thing, and it's so old now, and they've got it nailed down so well. I think you could probably figure it out pretty fast as a new player. And I don't remember what their tutorial experience is, but I gotta imagine that Civilization V's gotta be one of the most new player friendly games around, in that genre at least. Certainly more than something like AOW or something like that.
Yeah, I guess you could say so. Civilization is a very simple game in its premise, right? It's basically a turn-based tabletop game. Right? It's just mechanics are very simple. So yeah, I think. But I'm curious, why 5 and not 6, for example? Because 6 always goes on sale also for very cheap, and it's arguably a bit. It works a bit better than 5.
Well, let me just interject on this point here, where you say that Civ 5 is simple, because it isn't. It's simple because you are used to playing strategy games. You've played them for a long time. So when you play Civ 2, it's simple compared to what you're used to. So the issue you have with strategy games for noobs, for new players, is not just is it simple enough, but is it accessible enough? You know, and we're coming at this as veterans of the genre. We've all played thousands upon thousands of hours of strategy games, different types. So we can very quickly and easily pick up a new strategy game because we have experience of those core gameplay elements, those core gameplay mechanics. So for you to say that Civ 5 is simple is... it's wrong. That's just, you know, for want of a better word, it's wrong because it isn't simple. It's simple to you. It's simple to me. It's simple to Joe. And it's simple to most of our listeners, I would imagine. But if you are coming to strategy games as a new player and you're given this game, as Tim would say, full of menus, he hates menus, we know this, that's not simple. That's not simple compared to loading up Call of Duty, picking up a virtual gun and going and shooting your mates. That's simple. Civilization isn't. Run over.
I would argue also that Civ 5 was a step up in graphics from like Civ 4. So I wouldn't tell someone to go all the way back to Civ 4 because that's too far back. Whereas the difference in graphic fidelity between 5 and 6 is, I mean, sure, there's a difference, but I don't think it's that outrageous. I don't think you're missing all that much going back to 5, honestly. And in fact, when Civ 6 came out, I played it for a day and went back to 5. And then I waited like 6 months. Hopefully that doesn't happen this time with 7. We'll see, I guess.
And I think when we're looking at strategy games which would be suitable for new players, we also have to, as I said, we have to consider the accessibility angle. And is something going to be appealing to somebody who's new to these games? So if you say, oh, this is Civilization 7, which is coming out next month. This is Civ 7. I think it's 2 weeks now until it's released. And you say to someone, right, go ahead and play. They're going to be put off by the complexity. It isn't accessible. You need, you know, I think there's console versions of it coming out as well, but it's predominantly going to be a mouse and keyboard, lots of menus, lots of spreadsheets behind the scenes making it work. That's not a simple game for people to pick up and play. There's a, I don't know whether you've played a game, it's, if it hasn't been released yet, it's on the cusp of, called Battle Aces. This is a game from Uncapped Games, an indie developer. And the beauty of this game is that the matches are limited to 10 minutes. And this can often be something which is off-putting for people who want to play strategy games, that they go on for such a long time. And people aren't used to having the attention span to play for that long. I'm sounding old again, the new generation, they require that instant gratification. They haven't got the time to or the concentration to sit and play a game suddenly for an hour. So this reduces the time scale to each match to 10 minutes, which means that people are more likely to say, well, do you know what, I'll give that a try because it's only 10 minutes of my time, rather than having to invest an hour in learning how something works before you can then go and spend another hour playing the game.
Yeah, but I have a counterpoint to that. Is that a couple of years ago, like 10 years ago, you had a great movement where everyone wanted to do strategy games, but same for, so you had like, oh, this is like, we're going to keep the... How? What was the expression they used? We're going to keep the basics and keep it the basics very complex, but then we're going to simplify everything else. And the fact is that trend died out pretty quickly in strategy games. I remember just a lot of games doing that with RTS, just, oh, we're going to keep the basics and then we're going to simplify everything else. And then people just started to play these games and they didn't find any depth to them. And they just let them go, because strategy games are very different in this. They're like MOBAs. Remember when people were trying to make simple MOBAs, like, oh, this is League of Legends, but we're going to simplify League of Legends. Oh, it's Dota, but we're going to simplify that. And it never worked as well, because people look for some complexity in their game. That's why I say that I'm not as negative as Al in this aspect, where you think that younger generations are like this. I'm a bit more positive. I think that I have a lot of new people playing strategy games and people like complexity. Maybe they have just gotten used to some quality of life features from those games that strategy games have been failing to provide. So good tutorials, really easy accessibility, modern controls. And I think that one of the things that makes it very hard to go back and play older games is that the controls are very different. So, for example, one thing that really annoys me at the moment is that going back to a game like Company of Heroes 1, which came back in 2006, and you can't use WASD to control your camera. You have to use the keys, and there's no way to reprogram that. It's just so it's so weird. But back then, it was the norm, right? So you didn't even notice that.
I'm with you. So I could never play a game like that. Instant quit for me.
It's weird. So my question now is, where do we begin to bridge this gap between a game is too old to be recommended because his design options are out of fashion, or is it too complex because it's too new and it has a lot of baggage in it? So I'm curious to know, where do you guys think we can find this perfect middle ground?
Well, let's send our listeners back to episode 1, which came out on the 1st of November 2024, which was Strategy Game Remasters. And that's where you find your middle ground between games which are simple enough to pick up and play, but they have those quality of life improvements. So it's just a simple answer to a simple question. Which is why I mentioned the Red Alert Remastered Collection as being an ideal starting point for people who want to experience strategy games. RTS games, that is, of course. But... Another thing that I would like to ask you, as our resident or one of our resident wargaming experts, I play strategy games. I play RTS games. I play grand strategy games in terms of far too many hours in Stellaris, but I've never really been drawn to the wargaming side of things, like Shane's top pick, War in the Pacific. It's never, you know, that whole Hex setup, it's never really appealed to me. So what would you recommend that I play to broaden my horizons as a strategy gamer?
I think that war games are very specific in the sense that they're usually based in historical, that they're somewhat historical. So first you need to find a period of history that you enjoy. So for me, it's World War II and medieval history. So I'm going to start with World War II because it's where you have the most games.
Don't do World War II because I'm not interested in playing World War II games. So pick something else.
Yeah, but for our listeners, let me just give them...
Never mind them. This is about me now.
It's going to be about you.
So he's going to quit being polite, dude.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to be polite today and always taking over my persona, so it's weird. So I would say that if you want to, like, a beginner-friendly war game would be Battle Academy 2. Like, everyone recommends Battle Academy just because there's no menus. There are no X's, it's just squares. And you basically just play a very simple turn-based war game where you have your units, the enemy has their units, and you have a set movement points. You can move, like, tanks can move a bit farther, infantry can move a bit less. And then you have all the percentages you need when you're taking a shot and all that. So it's very simple. Visually, it's very simplistic. The game has 15 years or something like that. But it plays really well, and the outcome of the battles are somewhat realistic. So I think it's a great entry for strategy game. But if you want to play, let's say, a medieval war game, I think you can go with Field of Glory 2 Medieval, because it's pretty much, I would say, Battle Academy, but in medieval times. There are some melee-specific rules you need to know, but if you understand history, things start to make sense. So, for example, it's not like something like Total War, where your units move freely, right? So you always have control of your unit in Total War. Like Field of Glory takes some of that control away. So as soon as a unit is engaged with one another, you as a commander cannot tell them to fall back, right? Because they're fighting, so like your orders can't reach them. So I would say that Field of Glory does a fantastic job of presenting the complexity of older battlefields in a simplistic way. Like, the graphics are simple, the game is cheap. The mechanics make sense. You have all the numbers you need. There are no menus or submenus to interact with. You're just fighting battles, so there's no grand strategy layer to that where you need to be worried about your army composition and all that. And battles can be over in 30-40 minutes, so you can just play a lot of battles if you want in an afternoon. So I would say that Field of Glory is probably the best battle simulator / war game for medieval history, if you like that. Also, there are a lot of units, like hundreds of units you can play around with if you like. So if you want to make a matchup, like, oh, I want to fight with Portugal against England in 1355, you can do that. So it's very cool, and if you like to explore, you can also do that.
Now, is that the one that you can combine with another game to make it a grand strategy game?
Yep. Yeah.
Do you recommend that?
I love both games. I think both games are great. Like, Field of Glory Medieval, Field of Glory 42 Medieval is my favorite medieval game of all time. But Field of Glory Kingdoms and Medieval, like the process of exporting a battle, playing the battle, and then loading up the results, it's very cumbersome. So I wouldn't advise it, because you need to go out of one game, boot up another, play the battle there, and then it's just boring to always go through that. And if you have a lot of battles going on at the same time, it can be very tiresome to get over with the turn. So I would say that just if you want to play Kingdoms, to play grand strategy war game, you could go with that. But I think that Field of Glory 2 Medieval is great if you want to learn the basics of war games, because it teaches a lot of the basics, which is like field of vision, the loss of control of your units, morale systems, tiredness systems, so weapons and all that. So it teaches a lot about the basics of war games, and I think it's a fantastic title. It's also very cheap most of the time, in so.
I think one of the things that we have to consider is the different types of strategy games, which can be good precursors to getting involved in the more complex titles. So I'm going to go back a couple of years, 1 or 2 years, to 1995, when Worms was released by Team 17. Did you ever play Worms?
I have.
No?
But...
Uh-huh. Now, that is a strategy game.
It is.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. So, have you heard of this game, Joe?
I'm looking at it right now. I don't think so.
So, you have a team of four worms. It can be multiplayer, or you can play against the computer. You can hot seat multiplayer, and the task is for you to kill your enemy's worms before the enemy kills your worms using different weapons: machine guns, shotguns, exploding sheep, dynamite. That is a strategy game, but it's arcadey, it's simple, it's accessible, and to get people into a situation where they would be interested in trying the more complex games, these simple titles, and there's been many, many sequels for Worms as well.
Hundreds.
But these simple titles are really good introductions, and you wouldn't think that it was a strategy game by looking at it. It's very arcadey in how it presents, but it is a strategy game.
I think you can consider Worms a strategy game, but it also has a mechanical skill aspect to it, where you need to aim your worms weapons and all that. So I think that also mm-hmm. plays a major role in that. But yeah, it technically is a turn-based strategy title. So yeah.
But most multiplayer strategy games have a skills element. Mm-hmm. You know, if they were entirely random, nobody would play them. Where would be the benefit or the enjoyment in just something being completely random? You know, there has to be that skill element for people to get enjoyment from playing them, for there to be that competitive aspect of it. So. Maybe we're looking at this the wrong way. Maybe when we're saying what's the best strategy games for people to start getting involved in this particular genre of games, and we're looking at titles like Red Alert, traditional RTS games, or XCOM 2 would be another one which people might suggest as like a first foray into turn-based games, or Rome Total War, maybe, you know, the first one where it's slightly more simple than the later versions where Creative Assembly have just added crap for the sake of adding crap. Maybe we're looking at this all wrong, and what we should be looking at is titles like Worms. I hate to say it, and I'm glad Tim's not here, but mobile games, Boom Beach, it's a strategy game, and it's accessible. You can play it on your phone when you're sat on the bus going to your job.
I was thinking Battle of Polytopia.
I don't know.
It's
that
just
one.
A really simple phone game that's basically a stripped down Civilization.
Right. And are these not the games, when we're saying what are the games for new players to this genre, are these not the games that we should be perhaps introducing people to, first of all? I was saying, hey, come and sit at my desk in front of my monitor with my PC, and we'll load up this game from Steam, and these are the rules, and these are the controls. Mobile games tend to be very intuitive. You don't need to read lots of rules, lots of manuals about how to do it. You pick it up and you play. And these are the things which are going to get people playing strategy games far more than Civilization V.
You should just suggest Balatro, then. There's a lot of strategy in that game, and there's not much around more fun than that. Have you guys played Balatro?
I have. No? I have. Yeah. Fantastic card. It's a card game. It's a roguelike card game where you play poker against the computer. It's just...
Yeah. It's like solitaire and poker together.
Yeah, and you just you create hands, and can you explain it, Joe? So
I can do my best to explain.
Old men now can understand what you're talking about.
So you are trying to make the best poker hand you can, but you can bring in power-up cards that you collect throughout your games, and you have to beat the dealer's blind in order to win each round. And every three rounds, there's a boss round that has just an extra thing you have to go against. And what else? So if based on how many points you score, you win money, and you can use the money to buy your power-up cards, and usually there's a randomness to that. And it it just can really pass the time. It's a lot of strategy in there, because mm-hmm. you have to really think about some of the boss challenges can be quite difficult. So it is one that probably would be a good suggestion for some, for a new gamer, just to wet their whistle, so to speak, because it starts easy and expands exponentially.
Yeah, and when we look at when we look at the demographics, when you look at the people who play strategy games, which we consider to be strategy games, which is your RTS titles, your grand strategy titles, your turn-based titles, the demographic tends to be predominantly, I'm not saying this is for everybody, men of a certain age, of a certain educational background, and that's just the way it is with these type of games. Maybe that's just with the way the marketing goes. But you're seeing a lot more female players in the mobile space, a lot more younger players in the mobile space. And perhaps that's what we need to be looking at. If someone says, I really want to try strategy games, don't put them in front of Civilization 5, which we think is simple because we played 1, 2, 3, 4, and we're going to play 6 and 7. Say, this is Boom Beach, this is whatever that bloody card game that Joe was just on about. You know, maybe these are the things that we should be introducing people to say, well, this is actually a strategy game. This is Worms, you know. You've got to kill those worms before they kill you. And you've got to use strategy to do it. Maybe those are the ways that you introduce people to strategy games, you know. But we're maybe getting away from what Nuno actually really wanted to talk about, yeah. But sorry,
I think you're right in a certain way. Things have to be simple for people to get on board with it. But I also think that you can just introduce people to more complex games, and they might like the challenge because it's a lot more complex. Even if you're a new gamer, mm-hmm. you might look at something and just enjoy it. And you talked about XCOM, and I actually think that XCOM is a great. The 2012 XCOM, like not the original is rough to play today. I think the 2011 XCOM reboot is a fantastic introductory title because it has it's very modern. It has a fantastic tutorial that takes you throughout all the mechanics that you need to learn how to play the game. The game doesn't teach you how to play and then drops you off, but it does it very gradually. So you play, you start in a battle, and then you go to you go into the grand strategy map, and you play a couple more battles under the guise of the tutorial, and then you learn new mechanics. And like the first couple of hours are very, the game guides you very well. So if you never play the turn-based tactics game, I think XCOM does a fantastic job, and it's really accessible to play. It's very easy to play, like mechanically. It's a very visually, it's still very interesting, so it can captivate people that like pretty graphics. You're moving just a couple of units around, so you don't have to worry about how many action points does each unit have this turn, or if walking or crouching occupy different action points and all that. Things that more complex games does, but just you know that you can move a unit two times and he can fire once, and that's the basic of the game, and everything else happens just around those two mechanics. So I think that XCOM is a great introduction to turn-based tactics. But I would also like to bring a more interesting option for people who are looking to start playing turn-based. And if you have a Nintendo DS, you could play Fire Emblem Awakening. I'm not sure if you guys know about Fire Emblem, but it's a kind of anime game. It's also turn-based, where you take your party of guys and you play very simplistic turn-based battles around the story. So the story dictates the kind of battles you have, and then you have your party that you need to build and equip and level up and all that. So the mechanics are also very simple. Like you can move the unit and you can attack with it, and you have pretty much rock, paper, scissors counters. So I think those games are great suggestions for people who are looking to start turn-based games, but want like meteor games that are just not like mobile stuff.
Okay, let's look at this from a different angle, because we're talking about games which are accessible, games which are they have less complexity. What is the most fun strategy game that you could suggest somebody to play? You said if you want to have an absolute blast, go and play this game.
Joe, I'll let you answer while I think about it.
Joe's going to let you answer what he thinks about it.
My first thought, honestly, is Civilization VI, because I feel like if they like strategy games, if they're interested in strategy games, they give it a shot, they figure it out. It's got that one more turn factor that can really get people hooked. And so that would be my suggestion. Is Civilization mm-hmm. 6. I actually like games like Dwarf Fortress or Rimworld better, but way, way, way too difficult. I say Civilization 6.
I was really, really hoping I wouldn't have to bring this game up. I was really walking around it, but now I'm going to have to do it. I would have to say Age of Empires 2. Without a shadow of the doubt, if you want to play with RTS, it's the first game that came to mind, and I think it's not the HD, the definitive edition that came out a couple of years ago, is Age of Empires as it was in the 90s, and it's still, the formula is still simple to so on. So make sure that I know that's actually simple. I played Age of Empires when the game came out. I was 7 years old, so I didn't speak English back then, and I could play the game and win against the AI. So if a 7 year old kid can play it, I'm sure most people can. And I think the formula holds up really well. The graphics are fantastic. There's an active multiplayer scene if you like that. It's a shame that Tim isn't here to talk about how he loves his multiplayer games and that's all that matters. But I think that Age of Empires 2 would be the game. So if you want to play a really fantastic RTS or a strategy game as a whole, and if you want to have fun with it, you go. The only reason I can see you not having fun with Age of Empires is that if you just don't like the time period for some reason. I can see that being so. People that really love like Napoleonic War, I can see why they think that might not be fun. But as a strategy game, I think that Age of Empires is fantastic. Oh, if you like Napoleonic, you can play Cossacks, which is Age of Empires, but on the Napoleonic. So there's always suggestions for. There's always a bit for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to go with Warhammer 40k Battle Sector from 2021. So a much more modern game than Age of Empires 2. I think it's turn-based, so you don't have that frenetic pace that you've got to concern yourself about, which can often be off-putting to people who are perhaps maybe trying RTS games, for example. It's turn-based, you can take your time. Graphically, beautiful, a very 40k story, often cheesy but quite grand, and really, really punchy, meaty units which do lots of really, really glorious destruction. And I think that especially if you're a fan of science fiction, especially if you're a Warhammer 40k fan, Battle Sector is an excellent game for somebody who is new to turn-based games to try. And I think it's usually quite cheap. There's lots of DLCs. There's lots of ways of expanding it. But just a joyful experience killing all of those aliens. You know, there's lots of joy in death, isn't there?
I have played Battle Sector. Curiously, it was one of the first games I covered for strategy in Wargaming. And one of the first, I think it was the first game I got a review code for. So, I loved it. I think the game, I agree with you, the game is really good. And it's also a great introductory title for people who want to play a turn-based game, because it's relatively simple. The setting is amazing. I love 40k and Desolation of Baal. which is the story you go through in Battle Sector.
It is, yes.
Super cheesy, but the campaign is really well made. It's not just a series of battles, but each battle has a very specific challenge to it. I think Battle Sector is actually, I didn't remember about that, but yeah, it's a great recommendation. I would still prefer XCOM, just because XCOM is a bit more broad, and it has a grand strategy aspect to it. But Battle Sector has been having quite a lot of updates, so they had the Necrons, they had the Demons of Korn.
Sisters of Battle,
So I think...
You know, that there's... There's been a lot that's gone into it, and I think that it but again, the risk is that these things, it starts to get much more complicated and less fun because it's not as simple. But I think that the pure initial experience of Battle Sector is a really good starting point for people who may be interested in strategy gaming. So that would be my pick. And for those who are interested in 40k games, go to my website 40kgames.com, where I've covered every single Warhammer 40k game that's ever been released, with lots of news and reviews on things as well. Sorry for the shameless plug.
Shameless
Let's move
plug.
On.
It fit perfectly. I barely noticed.
It did. It did. It was almost like it was just set up, you know.
So he's not actually recommending Battle Sector. He just wanted a very elaborate setup to plug his website.
No, it just felt right. Anyway, so have we decided on what the best game is for people to play if they want to experience strategy games? If our listeners want to, someone says, "Oh, what's all these strategy games that you're playing?" What's the best thing for them to recommend? So we've got Command & Conquer Remastered Collection, Age of Empires 2. What else have we got?
Battle Academy.
Civilization. Was it Civilization 4, 5, 6, or...?
5 or 6, whichever you can get a hold of.
5 or 6. Battle Academy. XCOM 2. Did we mention that one?
Fire Emblem.
Worms, though. Worms. Let's go with Worms. Worms. From 1995.
Worms.
It is the granddaddy of strategy.
I want to see what people have to say about you putting Worms up there. So I get a lot of weird comments whenever I call something that's... Say, if I say a game like Total War is a strategy game, people will go and comment, "It's not a strategy game, it's a real-time tactical something like that." So I can only imagine what people are going to think when they see you calling Worms a strategy game. I hate this kind of stupid, not stupid people, stupid definition.
And do you not think that this might also be a part of the problem as well with attracting new players to our favorite type of games, which is a little bit of gatekeeping?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, and I absolutely hate gatekeeping, you know. It's one way to ensure the death of your hobby is by excluding new people who might not know all the rules, might not get everything right, but they're interested, and you need to embrace those people and bring them in and say, "Yeah, come and play Worms, it's fantastic," you know, rather than, "Oh, you don't even know what a turn-based game is." Why do we do that to people?
I don't know why people do that and they get so defensive about their hobbies, but as the guy...
Should I tell you the reason why? It's because they're dickheads.
I think it goes a bit... I think it's a bit more... I don't know why people do that, but it's so weird.
A bit of elitism, maybe?
Yeah, it's because they spend so much time on it that their time investment has to be worth it. And in order for their time investment to be worth it, they have to protect it like it's worth it. It has to be valuable. And so if they think you're cheapening it in any way, you're cheapening their investment. So that would be my guess. That's where it comes from.
In war games, people do that a lot. This is very weird. So they're always complaining that you don't have younger people coming into the hobby. But then whenever someone comes into the hobby, they just do the best to make sure they don't stay in the hobby. So they're very rude, or they try to be condescending. It's a very weird attitude to have. And as someone who has, I would say, the biggest blog about wargaming online, I get a lot of those kind of comments, even when I'm writing about war games, like real war gaming, war games. People get very defensive when I say something that it's not exactly like, oh, this is not the precise definition of a war game. So, for example, I would say people wouldn't even call a game like Field of Glory Kingdoms a war game. And I wrote an article about how problematic that word is, war game, because people, for some reason, like regular people that don't play video games, whenever I use the word war games or in Portuguese, it has an even uglier meaning. People get very defensive about it, and they don't imagine like strategy games. When I say war game, people imagine like Call of Duty or very violent kind of games. So the word I end up using is historical strategy, and people become a lot more receptive to that. And so yeah, it's a very weird thing that people just happily need to be defensive about their hobbies. But guys, I think we talked enough about that. We could wrap things up. Do you guys have anything else to say? Someone wants to do another shameless plug like Al just did? Joe, have something else to add?
I think you guys should go ahead and let everybody know how much you want Al and I to take on each other in a multiplayer game. That's my only plug.
Oh, I heard about that. Oh, I want to see
Beyond our reason.
Oh, we need to schedule that. I will not comment on it, Tim. It's going to be fun.
Yes, yes.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for coming, and we'll see you next week.
See you, everybody.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.